Well, good morning, everybody. Good to see you this morning here in Greenwood, Delaware, which I find myself with you this morning. Praise the Lord. What a wonderful time it is to come and visit and to share. And last year, if you missed us here, we were here last year and for the first time, and what a wonderful time that we had together. And so thank you, Gerald, for getting me yesterday from Philadelphia. What a race that NASCAR thing that is wonderful, you know, to make that track from Philadelphia to here. And thank you for doing that. And we had a wonderful time of fellowship, and it was wonderful to be last night with Jamie and with Pastor Justin. And what a joy it is to renew our times together. My wife and I and family pastored in Vermont 27 years, and that seemed like a lifetime. But we saw many, many people come to Christ, and we're so grateful to God for that. And for the ministry that has flowed out of our ministry, it's just incredible what God is doing around the world. And so what a joy it is to be with you early this morning. For those of you that are online, God bless you. Thank you for joining us. I'm glad that you have clicked in, and we love you and we bless you. But I'm telling you, there's a seat with your name on it, and you need to come and be a part in the house and sense the presence of the Lord. I'm sure you sense it at home. I'm sure you sense it wherever you are. But to be here with the body of Christ is quite a unique experience. So I want to challenge you, and I want to encourage you to come and be a part of the Sunday encounters that are here. Because we believe that as we come to encounter the Lord, that God will change our lives. He will speak to us by His Spirit and through the Word of God. How many of you believe that? That God will speak to people that are interested, and I believe that as we come to the house of the Lord, each and every time, our interest peaks. And you say, well, where will we get to the peak where we don't need to come? I don't think you'll ever get to that place. But it is a wonderful experience to come and be in the house of the Lord. My wife, Phyllis, Dr. Phyllis, and I prayed for you this morning for this service, for the next service, and we're so grateful to God to be able to join heart and spirit. Now, as was announced, the pastor is down in the room with the children. And you need to pray for your pastor that he'll survive and that the children will survive. I remember there was a time where I was challenged to do that very same thing. I'm one of those long-winded preachers that the Lord has. A lot of times I would go over the time in preaching. You know, you get cranked up and you're flowing in the Holy Spirit and it seems so awesome. Why turn it off? But I was told and instructed by those that are overseeing the young people, when it gets to be that time of wrap up, there's no more snacks, there's no more diapers, there's no more this, there's no more comfort, there's no more that. Parents aren't coming to pick up their kids, and so they're waiting for you to get done preaching. And I said, you know what, I need to experience that myself. So I did nursery, just like Pastor's doing it one day. And what a revelation. I think it was a long time before I preached over time. And I'm certainly not going to preach over time here. But we thank the Lord for the opportunity to share and to be here. Amen. I'm going to pray that you'll receive God's word this morning. I pray that the Holy Spirit will do something here. This is not just a usual morning. It's not just a everyday thing to, you know, come to church and you know, and then go home and live life. No, we're living life here. And life that we have here takes in effect wherever we go and however we live. What a wonderful worship service, Austin. Thank you so much for, you know, I tell you, I would go up and down my neighborhood and say, you need to come and hear some worship. And, you know, and let them experience it. I want to challenge you and encourage you with Easter coming just very shortly, April the 30th. It's right around the corner. I want to encourage you to pray for your neighbors, pray for your family, pray for people that you know that are not members of a church, and they're just living their life as they know it, as we used to know it, right? The times when we were not born again, the times where we did not understand church. And yet, someone reached us. Someone came and introduced us. Someone came and grabbed our hand. Someone came and said, I'll meet you there. Someone came and said, I'll be with you. I'll sit with you. I'll go with you. You come and go with me. And you know, my life has been changed. I wouldn't be here as a minister of the gospel for 47 years if somebody had not said, come on, Callahan, let's go to church. And it's like, church? What do you want to go to church for? You know, it's amazing the ideas that we have on the outside and the way in which we approach church, because we are the church. God, Christ didn't die for this building, but he certainly died for you, and he died for me. Amen? Hallelujah. I want to declare something this morning. Would that be all right if I make a declaration? And that includes those of you, it's online. You're online and you're going to get this declaration as well. I'm going to let it go here because God put it on my heart. I name this day included. Everybody say included. Included. Oh, okay. Now say it like you mean it. Included. 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 I name this day included. I am not left out. I am not left behind. I am not left to figure things out on my own. I belong. I fit. There's room for me at the table. I'm a treasured member of the family of God. I am part of the tribe. I get a team jersey. I relax knowing I'm enough. I'm complete. How awesome to know that I was chosen. Wow. I am included, contained, comprehended, seen, heard, and valued. Can you say praise the Lord? That is you. You are included in the idea of God, in his plans and what he desires to do. Members of the body of Christ, always to honor the call of God upon their lives, helping to equip and train the body of Christ, knowing that they're included into the kingdom call upon our life. I want to stir you up today, if I can, in these few moments, so that you'll be so desirous in prayer to pray for people who don't know Christ, but really open your mouth and tell them and testify. Your testimony, the greatest testimony you could ever give is yours. And share it with other people before Easter, and let's invite people to come to the house of the Lord. Let's invite them, save them a seat. Bring them, if whatever you have to do, get them here. Because when their life has changed, it's changed for eternity. Let me say it one more time. When a life is changed in Christ, it's for eternity. And I'm grateful to God for the eternity of Christ. Let me share three reasons why we need Jesus. You probably already know that, and we were definitely singing that this morning. But Jesus loves you. He desires to have a relationship with you, to give you a little full of joy and purpose. Why do you need him in your life? I'm going to give you 3 points this morning, hopefully more than that, but right now, 3 points that will help you understand 3 reasons why you need Jesus. Because there's a lot of people out there that think that they can live life and Jesus doesn't have to be a part of that, or I don't have to be a part of him. But first of all, the first reason that we need Jesus is because you have a past We sang it this morning. We're not going to go there again, right? I love that song. You can't go back, but he can. The Bible says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8. He came, he can walk into those places of sin and failure and wipe the slate clean and give you a new beginning. Now, come on, wouldn't you go for that? The past. We need Jesus because we all have one. We all have a past. And we can tell stories about our past. But I'm grateful that he wipes it clean and that he forgives us and that he sets us free and declares that we're included in the body of Christ and we're included in the plan that God has. And part of that plan is for you to share the love that came into your heart and the spirit anointing that broke the sin off of your life. And as you repented of your sin, he forgave you and he loved you and he brought you into that relationship with him. Secondly, the second reason is because you need a friend. Can you say amen? I need a friend. Jesus knows the worst about you, right? Jesus knows the worst about you, but yet he believes the best of you. Why? Because he sees you not as you are, but as you will be, and when he gets through with you, what a friend. What a friend in Jesus that looks at your life and sees the past and loves you still and sees you prophetically in him where your life has changed and your life is never the same and you end up with a friendship, with a friend in Christ. And then thirdly, because he holds the future. Isn't that true? He holds the future. Who else are you going to trust in your future and for your future except him? In his hands, you are safe and secure today, tomorrow, and for all eternity. His word says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, plans for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." And in those days when you pray, I will listen. Jeremiah 29:11-12. I think we have sung this morning most of these songs that fits right with the word. And I can tell you that I've not talked to Austin at all. Just met him this morning, as a matter of fact. I was here last year and he was out somewhere and off, but we didn't connect. And yet we connect so much in spirit. As the Lord sent me here to say to you, there are three reasons why you need Jesus. And even more now, let's take on the hat of evangelism. And this world needs Jesus. But they don't know that and they don't believe that. And so they need to hear from you. They need to hear from us. They need to know that this wonderful church, this grateful people of God, are going out of their way to share the love of Christ. You know, you can lead someone to Christ just this way. You say, well, I don't know how to pray and lead somebody to Christ. Here's what you can say. Lord Jesus, I invite you into my life. I believe that you died for me and that your blood pays for my sin and provides me with the gift of eternal life. By faith, I receive that gift, and I acknowledge that you are my Lord and Savior. Just that simple, but powerful and life-changing. Are there any more words more powerful than that that could change a life? Could change a direction of people who do not know Christ? I am so honored here today to challenge you, in your faith and in your walk here at this ministry, and we pray that the Lord will speak to us. Now I want to deal with a subject of adversity, and adversity we're going to deal with that, but as we as we look biblically at Scripture, in Revelation chapter 12, 7 through 12, we find the evidence that it talks about the end times and the enemy, Satan, coming down to earth. And a time where it says, he hath but a short time. Now, when the Bible declares that that Satan has a short time, guess what he's doing with his time? He's trying to wreck as many lives as he can. He's trying to get as many people on drugs and as many people, their lives wasted, almost like the man on the cross, you know, who came to Christ, but he wasted his life. But in that last moment, thank God, he said, remember me, and he was with the Lord in paradise. You see, you say the right words, and the Lord will honor those words in your heart and in your life. But we're motivated in our future by biblical events. One of the events is in Revelation 20 in verse 11 and 15. It's the great white throne judgment. At the great white throne judgment, there will not be one believer. That's all non-believers who had a chance to receive Christ but did not do it. And so they end up at the great white throne judgment. And God judges them. Remember, Jesus said in Matthew 7, 20 to 23, Lord, Lord, I have done all these things. And he says, yes, but I never knew you. Isn't that sad that we could even do Christian things, but if our relationship is not intact with Christ, then we can do a lot of things and he not even know us or us know him. The great white throne judgment motivates us for evangelism. You realize when you read the scripture in Revelation 20, 11 to 15, that in the future of people today, they don't know it, but you now know it from Revelation 20, 11 to 15, that the great white throne judgment is where they're going to end up if they don't turn their life to Christ. So you know what's in the future of people that are not Christians. They're going to end up at the great white throne judgment. And the Bible calls that the second death. It's a spiritual death. Physical death, spiritual death. And so at the great white throne judgment, all the judgment will be poured out, all the things that will be brought to bear. And the greatest thing will be you had a chance to receive Christ and you denied your chance. And so you're cast into the lake of fire in your in eternity. You're not at peace with God. The second thing that we see, the biblical event in the life of people, is this the judgment seat of Christ, which motivates us for holiness. 2 Corinthians 5. Look in there with me, if you will. 2 Corinthians 5 and verses 10 and 11. I got more stuff up here than the law, than is legal. I'm wrestling alligators. That's why we come from Orlando up here. 2 Corinthians, and it is 5 and 10. 5 and 10. Well, let's look at 5 and 9 and 10. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present to be absent or be well-pleasing to him, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, that judgment seat is the Bema seat that you hear from the Old Testament into the New Testament, and Jesus is the person of mercy. The judgment seat for the believer is the mercy seat. Aren't you grateful this morning that the judgment that we are headed towards is the mercy seat? That God gave us mercy. God gives us mercy every day of our life. And as believers in Christ, we can cry out for mercy and he hears. You can see scripture in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the Gospels where they would cry out, the blind, the lame, those that heard Jesus coming by, and they said, Lord, have mercy. And Jesus would stop. Listen, mercy stops God's will long enough to pick you up and to bring you in to his mercy. Hallelujah. I'm glad I'm not going to the great white throne judgment, because we are Christians and we have received Christ. The judgment seat of Christ motivates us to holiness. And it says in verse 11, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your conscience. The judgment seat of Christ motivates us to live holy, to be and to live the best life we can in reflection of who Christ is and his word that disciples us to be a follower of Christ, to be an example as a leader to the body of Christ. Let's go this way. Let's turn our life this way because we're following God's plan in our life. You see, being motivated for the future is understanding the biblical events that are going to happen to the believer and to us before Christ comes. We have an advantage. We understand the word of God that is telling us and teaching us what is going to happen in the future. There are people right now that wouldn't go to a church. They wouldn't come online. They would say no to your invitation. And they're running from Christ, or they're running from the Holy Spirit. And if they don't accept Jesus Christ, then it's unfortunate that Revelation 20, 11, 15 tells us that they'll end up at the great white throne judgment. That breaks my heart, because I understand a non-believer, because that's where I was. But I'm so thankful for the mercy of God, the grace of God, and the blessing of the Lord upon my life that we went for Christ. I'm so grateful that you as well are brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. You see, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. Humanity can either receive the sacrifice of Christ on a cross that came and laid his life down for us and was put in the tomb and on the third day resurrected. And that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, if it dwell in you, it will quicken your mortal bodies. And you will understand and know that the spirit of resurrection and the power of God can turn your life around. Come on, somebody say amen. There's a lot of changed lives and a lot of changed minds here this morning. And I'm grateful to God, and you should be as well. But we should also use the opportunity to know, for believers that don't know. We've got an edge on them today because we understand where they're going and they have no idea. And frankly, I, as a non-believer before I became a Christian, I had no idea. It's more than just coming to a church service. It's giving your life to Christ and following him. Can I hear an amen? The judgment seat of Christ motivates us to holiness. And then the third thing that is a biblical event is the international gathering around God's throne that motivates us to missions. I'll tell you, if you ever had an opportunity to go on the mission field, you need to go. One of the things that Jared and I talked about yesterday, and he has a background in missions, is that very fact that you internationally experience the body of Christ worldwide. You don't look the same, you don't talk the same language in some events, but yet your hearts are the same. Your destiny is the same. Your international gathering of believers all over the world in Revelation chapter 5 in verse 9, you got to read that one with me this morning, Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scrolls and to open its seals, for you were slain and have been redeemed and redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe, tongue, people, and nation, and have made us kings and priests unto our God, and we shall reign on this earth." Wow. This is the international gathering around the throne of God. In my 47 years of ministry, I've been fortunate to go to many nations and to stand in a street corner, to stand in a church, to stand on a platform with a crusade or whatever it is, but to bring people to Christ, to give them an opportunity to respond to Him. I'll tell you, it's one of the greatest honors of my life. Right here now, today, right here now, today, we still have that international gathering that's going to join us. We don't all look the same. We don't all speak the same language, but I'll tell you what, our hearts are the same in Christ, and I'm so grateful for that. So here are three mission mandates that motivate us for the future. The Great White Throne Judgment motivates us for evangelism. You say, "Well, I'm not an evangelist." Tell your story. And the more you tell your story of what Christ has done in your life, the more like an evangelist you'll be. You'll tell it with tears rolling down your face. "We didn't care about church. We didn't think church was a good place to go. But when He saved me and forgave me of my past, He changed my life. And now I wouldn't change it. I want to be in church every time I have an opportunity, because it encourages my faith. It encourages me in my walk with Christ." Isn't that awesome? And then the second reason is the judgment seat of Christ motivates us for holiness, to live our life as best we can. That our faith is the issue that stands before people who used to know you. It's amazing. I did a crusade one time in my hometown where I was on the football team, basketball team, and people knew my family and this, that, and the other. And it's like, Pastor Callahan is holding a crusade at the Armory and invites all of the people in Laurinburg, North Carolina. That was my hometown. And I'm telling you, there were people that flooded that place and came because they could not believe that because many of them knew me as I was in the past. That's not good. But they came to see me transformed. If He really is transformed, if He really is what He says He is, a Christian. And I was, and many came to Christ that day. How about you? You don't have to grab a platform, but you bump into people when you get gas, you go to the grocery store. Wherever you go is an opportunity to share Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. So, Great White Throne Judgment, the judgment seat of Christ, and then the international gathering of the throne motivates us for missions. We now know where they're headed, what God is doing. And I want you to know that God loves you. And the thing that most keeps us away from being that person that shares is adversity. Adversity in your life is a stopgap, the gap, in the sense that the enemy keeps things stirred up so much that you're fighting spiritual battles rather than giving spiritual life. So the adversity that we come in life sometimes cuts us short. Let me ask you this question. Are you facing some adversity in your life right now? Have you found yourself saying, "I've had enough, I'm fed up, I can't carry this anymore, I'm losing my patience, and I'm at a breaking point"? Is that you? Very well could be.
please hear. Please hear this. God does care. You do matter, and he does have an answer for you regardless of your age. God can and will sustain you. Start claiming that promise today. Amen. Isaiah 46 and 4 says, even in your old age and gray hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you, and I have made you, and I will carry you, and I will sustain you, and I will rescue you. To sustain you means God will help carry the weight of something that you're dealing with in your life. Can God carry the load? Yes, he can. He wants to. It's too heavy for you, but not for him. There are principles of adversity. Christians should not be surprised by adversity, because the devil hates you, but God loves you. With God's help, you can prosper and persevere during adversity. This is the prime time to believe God for blessing despite adversity. You can refocus and recognize the good he can bring from adversity. You see, as a Christian, you are directly or indirectly a target for the enemy. So realizing that, he's always done his best to cause trouble, health problems, financial difficulties, family struggles, spiritual battles, all of that. But let me tell you something. You have victory. Can you say it with me? Say victory over adversity. Victory over adversity. That's you. And I've already declared you're included in that. Amen. You're included. You see, when you ask the Lord for a miracle, he will often ask you to do something to put your action into faith, your faith into action. He wants you to participate. In other words, here are just a few scriptures in closing. To the blind man, he instructed him, go wash. That's John 9:7. To the lepers, he said, go show yourself to the priest. That's Matthew 8:4. The lame man took up his bed and walked, John 5. To Peter, he said, go fishing. To the widow of Elijah, he said, don't be afraid. First make me a little loaf of bread for me from what you have. Wow. You see, adversity sometimes keeps us from being free to share God's word and to share Christ with a lost and dying world. Turn your adversity around, have victory over your adversity, and come and get prayer, and come and be anointed by the leaders, and determine in your heart that you're going to share Christ with someone. And you're going to reach out between now and Sunday, Easter. You're going to bring them and invite them. You're going to reach out and pray with them that they receive Christ. How many souls can we win to Christ? How many? How much are we willing to do in together as a congregation and as a body? Are we willing to share with our friends? Yeah, there'll be some that will turn you down, but there might be more that will accept what you're saying. Let me pray for you. Here at Hickory Ridge right now, Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your heart. I thank you for the destiny that, Lord, that you have brought here with Pastor Justin and Jamie and the leaders. I thank you for the body of Christ that is here. And Father, we know there's so many more that are lost, and they're tangled up into the world of unbelief. And they know not the things of God. And so, Father, we pray that you would anoint us with the biblical events of knowledge, knowing what is in their life and in their future. If they don't come to Christ, they'll be at the great white throne judgment. If we don't necessarily tell them, but if we show them in living holiness, before you. They won't see it. The international gathering around the throne of God. People from all over the world will join us, but some will be left out if they don't receive. So, Father, I pray a prophetic anointing over this church today in Jesus' name. You sent me here with this message to stir this congregation up, to look and see the world that is turned upside down and needs Christ. And Father, may many, many find Christ this year and at this Easter service that we're going to have right around the corner. And I'm going to be a part of it. You're going to be a part of it. We're all going to be a part of it. And Jesus is going to change lives. If you need prayer, if you need courage, if you've never witnessed to anybody, you know, that is a fact. I ask people to raise their hand, but I'm not going to do it this morning. Those online, we want to ask you to join us in the prayer, but we want to also be a part of the prayer. We want to open our mouth and share our testimony and minister to those. You say, well, I've had so many people. I haven't had good luck. It's not luck at all. Let the Holy Spirit lead you to bring people to Christ, to bring people here to Hickory Ridge. You plan for them. You pray for them. You want them to come. And you'll get on your knees and you'll pray and you'll sacrifice and you'll sow money into the plans to bring people to Christ. Lord, I pray that each and every one here this morning will do their very best and turn this event of the resurrection of Christ into an event where people's lives are changed. In Christ's name we pray, and everybody said, amen and amen.